The Cat Attack Podcast. Kerr's Hire, local for over 30 years.
Greetings to the Kerr's Hire Cat Attack Podcast, proudly supported by Kerr's Hire. Jared Kerr would have had the strides down, I reckon, Kingy, midway through the third term of that game last week.
You've finally got his name right. You've called him Justin. You've called him Jason.
Yeah, Jamie.
You've finally worked out that his name's
Jackson,
Jared.
Jacob.
Yeah.
All those trendy J names.
But he's just Jared.
John.
You said trendy.
Did anyone's calling their kids John?
Nah, you usually get Jonathan. Yeah. A lot of Jonathan.
Jono.
Which became Jono, or John, J-O-N.
Yeah.
Which is cooler than J-O-H-N.
Yeah. Do you reckon the last great John will be John Holmes?
No, probably John Howard.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Do you think that they may have had anything in common?
Probably not.
They could both turn it off a sticky wicket.
Right. Do you want to talk about the Cats?
Yeah.
Look, I do, because the more we talk about the Cats, the less editing I have to do when you go off the deep end. Oh, I'd like to push you off the deep
early.
End sometimes.
I've been working today, Kingy.
Have you? Well, how are things at Wild Racing? Oh, are you very excited?
About the carnival?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, look, I don't know. Sort of. Not really.
So, Ben, when did you steal the beer, Ben?
The beer, yeah, I know, 60 slabs. When it was reimbursed, I think, by a betting agency.
Yeah, so, sports bet.
So they made some kangaroo.
Gamble responsibly.
They made some kangaroo, and I like the tongue-in-cheek. You may not have seen it up here, but there was a tongue-in-cheek quip.
Yeah,
I love a quip.
I like a witty quip.
from the old Detective Inspector Iron Finger. I don't know what his name was, but he suggested he was concerned about the livers of the people who'd stolen the beer. That's what he said. That's what appeared in the Warnable Standard.
Right.
Which I thought was sort of quite humorous, because old Dr. Iron Finger was a Detective Inspector. He's having a bit of a joke. So, yeah, anyway, 60 slabs, but I think it was replaced.
Brand?
What do you mean?
A beer.
What gas?
Yeah.
I think they took an assortment.
they
took some Northern just so they could get home, and then they took some Carlton Draft for when they were really on the couch listening to a bit of Dinosaur Junior. And then they might have finished off. They might have finished off with a little bit of Carlton Dry late, I reckon. So no,
because it's low carb.
Yeah.
It doesn't. Yeah. Right. Okay. Anyway, let's talk about the Cats, because they were actually pretty good last Sunday. They did what they had to do.
Yeah.
They put them to the sword. They probably should have won by more, but you know, this is the AFL, and you're not going to be, you know, pulling the pants down for the entire four quarters.
No, you don't want the four quarter pant down sort of arrangement. That doesn't do anyone any favours. The old sort of Tockley went back into the strides late, didn't they? They didn't really open the shoulders, the Cats. But look, you don't want to beat your chest about beating North. My grandfather barracked for North Melbourne, so I have a soft spot for the Shinboners. Look, Geelong did enough. They're struggling North. I don't think we're breaking any news there. That's not an exclusive. And they're not playing well to boot. Cunnington's probably their best player, is not playing. Tarryn Thomas is way down. Anyway, Geelong did enough. Probably should have won by more. Had enough in the end, and North kicked a couple of goals to make it half respectable. So, which was probably good for them. You don't like seeing absolute thrashings, although Geelong would have liked it for their percentage, but. Yeah, they're at different stages, and you know, North. I've heard a lot of. There's been a lot of vitriol about North this week, but anyway, Cats did enough, got through, no injuries. Kingy, I don't no noticeable not, injuries. Someone will be managed.
Yeah, they will be. Yeah. So now we move on.
Yeah. To what?
Fremantle this week.
Yeah, well, they're a good team.
Yeah, we're expecting a bit of rain.
Not just a bit.
Yeah.
Track heavy. 18 to 35 mils if the forecasters get it right.
Correct. So I have 5 to 10 on Friday, and all the rain will fall Friday night, Saturday morning. So we could be playing on a very, very heavy deck. That might...
Well, it won't be footy... Yeah,
it's
might.
Not heavy, but it's going to be...
Sort of slippery and...
They'll be playing the territory game.
Yeah, if they get that much rain, they will.
Yeah. It'll just be... Get it moving forward as much as you can, and we might end up with a soccer score.
I know, and that's sort of... I don't know who that favours, to be honest with you, but... I watched Freo against Carlton, and they were very hard to score against. Carlton, if they've done anything well this year, I mean, they've done a few things well, but they score quite well. Mm. Freo were actually really well set up behind the ball. So it'd be interesting to see how, because that probably changes if the game becomes a kick it off the ground, just get hack it forward type game. Maybe they have to sort of, it's not as predictable as when it's a dry condition game.
Yep.
So I don't know whether that changes the way that they play. But anyway, they're a good test. They'll be steeling themselves, Freo, for a big game, obviously. Yep. But
they lose a couple.
Yeah, they lose Darcy
and Tabana.
Yeah.
That's, you know, Tabata maybe, well, in the end, maybe with, you know, the weather conditions the way they're going to be, it might not impact them as much. But still, Tabata's had a really impressive start to the year, kick seven against the Bombers on Easter Sunday. Darcy's one of the preeminent ruckmen in the competition now. So you get Lloyd Meek coming in.
Well, he's not horrific.
No. So he'll, and we know Reece Stanley can occasionally when
Do you reckon ruckman the... I suppose, I don't know, if you've got a really good one, if it's really wet...
Doesn't matter.
Yeah, I don't know.
It becomes about how hard you are at the footy when it hits the deck.
Yeah, well, I mean, maybe that might help Reece Stanley to a degree. I mean, it's not going to be a mark if it's like that. It's probably not going to be a marking day. He's a bit more agile. Meek's probably more of your old sort of dinosaur arrangement. Yeah. But anyway, that's a big out for them.
That's a massive out.
So they've got some good young players that Cat fans... may not know a whole lot about.
Switkowski.
Yeah, he's good. He's quick. Schultz. He's dead eye. He doesn't miss too often when he gets the ball, and he's got a habit of getting...
He's taken Adam Chera's number five.
Yeah, he was really good against Carlton. Yep. You got some other blokes there too.
Like Darcy Tucker's now at 100 games.
Yeah, he's just going though. I don't reckon he's really improved.
He's good.
They've got some other younger players around him who have gone
past him.
Yeah. Who's that dinging?
I don't know who's dinging. That would be my phone dinging.
I'm definitely not dinging. Sarong's handy. And they've got some very good defenders. That Brennan Cox, he's very, very, very good. Logue's come back in and played well last week. Luke Ryan is a good player, and Pierce is a good player.
Yeah, finally Alex Pierce has got over all those injury issues
they've got
that
he's had. They've got some really good players down back, and the Cats will have their work cut out. Obviously, when was the last time they won down here, Kiki?
2015.
Was that in the final?
No, 2013 was the final. Remember Geelong made that horrendous start to 2015? I think they were 2-4.
Oh, yeah.
They got beaten by North and Freo down here in the opening month.
Yep.
Freo got them pretty comfortably down here by about 7 goals. So they haven't been here since 2018. So Justin Longmuir has never coached here in his tenure. Talk about Justin Longmuir. He's going to join us.
Is he?
He's going to have a chat. Yeah. He's straight on the bat too.
JL.
5 past 12, JL.
Oh, good.
Gonna have
hasn't forgotten where it all started for him.
No.
At the Rock.
No, he's a good man. I had a quick chat to him earlier in the week via the old Twitter message, and he said, love you blokes. And
did you go through the channels?
Yeah, I had to go through the channels, yeah. So you get a feel, see if he's happy to come on. He said, love to. And I said, I'll just go let the right people know. Because they've got to organise times.
Have they still got Luke Morfest?
Yes, Luke is still...
He's been there for 1,000 years.
Luke has been there for a while.
I think he was there when Clive Waterhouse was drafted. I'll never forget that. I used to work in Perth, and I was in fly in, fly out.
When you're in the mines.
Yeah, I was in the mines. I was mining. And anyway, I didn't really know anyone in Perth, so I had my week off, and I went to the footy at the Wacker to watch Fremantle. I reckon it was... Oh, geez. Andrew Wills was playing. So
he was there at the start.
I grew up next to Andrew Wills, my next door neighbour. Yep. So I went to watch him play, but I went by myself. Anyway, I just happened to sort of wander into the ground and end up standing in this area. And they were predominantly Fremantle supporters. There weren't that many people there. I mean, there was enough, but it wasn't packed or anything because Freo were pretty ordinary. And I experienced that Clive Waterhouse had been taken pick
one. He was pick one.
Yeah, a couple of years prior.
Yep.
So he hadn't really done
well. He was pick one in 94 going into their first year in 95, I'm pretty sure.
Yes. Yeah, and I think he played 100 games. Did he get to 100 games?
Yep.
Anyway, the ball comes out to where we are, and he's got it. And almost in unison, about 30 people just yelled out, "Go shithouse!" They were calling him shithouse, his own supporters. Clive shithouse.
Oh, actually, no, he was pick one in the 95 draft, so he came in their second year. He played 106 games, kicked 178 goals.
Yeah, well, his own supporters called him shithouse. which I thought was...
A bit harsh.
Well, it was sort of... They weren't being really nasty about it. It was sort of just a bit of humour, really. It was actually quite humorous, but anyway, he never really lived. He played a few good games, I reckon. Yep. Clive Waterhouse, but he was never a consistent sort of player.
No, injuries didn't help him along the way as well. No. So, Clive Waterhouse. But, you know, they haven't played here since 2018, last win 2015, of course. Yeah, that final that derailed the Cats in 2013.
Yeah, that wasn't ideal. That was the Stephen Hill game, wasn't it?
So losing that, then playing Port Adelaide in a final where Paul Chapman gets suspended, misses the Hawthorn prelim that they lead by 4 goals at three-quarter time.
Yeah, that wasn't ideal either.
Travis Farco runs into an open goal to tie the game.
Well, it wasn't an open goal.
It was 25 out directly in front.
It was a bit further than that, wasn't it?
No, he was 25.
I mean, he should have got it, but it wasn't like he was 3 metres out.
It was 25 out directly in front.
Yeah, and he missed.
And he missed.
Oh, Trevy.
So, yes. Anyway, questions?
Yeah.
Cat to the future. The stats will not bear it out, but do we have an issue on the quality of our clearances? Does it feel like our entries, for the most part, do not favour all our forwards? If the devil offered any key defender in the league for your soul, which defender would stick in to permanently deploy blitz as a wing forward? And are you both joining the cult of Ollie Dempsey? Send $49.99 to my post office box in cash to get ordained a minister in the church. Firstly, we're Ollie Dempsey fans already.
Yeah, he's exciting.
He's got some tricks.
Yeah, he has. He's not. I don't think he's going to last the year.
No, but they're going to play him. Yeah, you know, while they can.
Yeah.
And try and get full value out of him.
He is exciting. There's something about youthful exuberance. And I think, you know, the Cat fans have probably been, and not through anyone's fault, they've been strong, but the Cat fans have probably been starved of that. Mm. That's why Geelong is so enamoured with, you know, De Conning and now Dempsey and even Stengel, because they haven't had that, you know, sort of drop and then get the top pick, and you see this kid come in. And I mean, Melbourne have got a myriad of them.
Mm.
Pickett.
Who would be your key defender? I would go Tom McCartan.
Tom McCartan? If
he became available tomorrow,
yep,
and Geelong had a spot on their list,
yep,
which they do, yep, but he's not being available in the mid-season.
Any defender?
Yep, Tom McCartan.
He'd be one, yes. I do like him. I'd take Wiedering.
Okay. Harris Andrews?
Yeah. Yep. There's plenty.
Yeah.
There's quite a few you could take.
Yeah. Oh, Tom McCartan for me.
And I wouldn't mind, he's maybe not sort of key-ish defender, but I don't mind Ridley from Essendon.
He's a good player, isn't he?
He's a very good player.
Yeah.
He's not really a key sort of player, although he's probably taller than you think. He's probably 195.
Or for another one with the Geelong flavour, Tom Duday.
Yeah, Darcy Moore.
Yep.
I don't know about the old Duday.
He's a good player.
Yeah, he is, but he's probably not quite at the level of some of those other guys.
Does it feel like our entries, for most part, do not favour all the forwards?
Oh.
I think you can find that in any team, though, that you don't get 100% quality going inside your forward 50.
No.
Yeah, it all comes down to the pressure.
Not at that level. There's always pressure up the field and something going on and defenders zoning off and dropping off and getting in the way, and it's very difficult to fashion the perfect game. You're not going to, but as long as you're kicking it to the advantage more often than not. Sometimes you get frustrated because there is the one-on-one and they kick it to the advantage of the defender. It doesn't necessarily need to be laced out for the forward, but at least if it's to his side, it gives him a chance. But so often you'll see the kick go, you know, it's less than 50-50 or it goes into the advantage of the defender, which is so frustrating when you do get those opportunities. But I think Cameron and Hawkins worked well on the weekend. You know, the opposition, albeit Mackay is a very good player, I thought he played quite well on Hawkins. North and obviously nowhere near it at the moment. Mm. And, you know, Geelong were able to sort of have their way through the midfield. They had 62 inside 50 or something, didn't they?
Mm.
Yeah, so, yeah, you like to be interesting to see how they go this week, albeit if it's wet, you're probably not going to get a great guide in terms of delivery. It's going to be more, like you say, just get it any forward any way you can.
Random question for the podcast from Catters28. Who is K-Rock's favourite, what were they thinking, Geelong recruit of recent years? Options are Hamish McIntosh, Mitch Clark, Josh Jenkins, Jack Stephen. Insert any other relevant names here. I'll give you one.
I've got two out of that lot.
Sam Blees.
Well, at least he played a bit.
He played one game.
Yeah, but what did they offer him up for?
Well, it comes down to what you got in return.
Yeah.
So Mitch Clark was part of that three-way deal.
It was a three-pronger.
Didn't
Varco go to Collingwood?
Varco went to Collingwood.
And what was the other? Who was the other pawn in that?
So somebody went from... Was Harry T. Lumumba in that one as well?
Yeah, he could have been.
Yeah, I reckon that was Lumumba, Varco, Clark.
Might have been.
From what
those two, Clark and Jack Stevens, stick out for me because I don't know that the club did 100% due diligence on those blokes and didn't understand the depths of their problems off the field and thought that just by coming to Geelong they were suddenly going to, the magic spray, they're going to walk through the doors and everything was going to be all right, and it wasn't.
Howler 41 did what we had to do to the Kangaroos. Guthrie played his best game for some time, actually kicking the ball forward.
I liked that. That was good.
Yeah, it's like he was listening to last week's podcast.
Yeah, well, we've been saying it for ages.
Yep.
He just seemed to get into that habit of maybe getting home and looking how many possessions he had as opposed to the quality of the possessions. And he when he's playing like he did last week, he's really damaging because he's a good kick.
I liked what I saw of Dempsey. Would like him to continue in the side, and I think he will. They'll play him as long as he's contributing something to the level that they require, and then he'll get a spell as most kids have. Yeah. There's not a lot of him.
No, he'll get killed.
Yeah.
I don't think you can expose him. Well, yeah, I mean, who knows, but... Yeah, I'm not sure he's not quite set up to be exposed for too long, unfortunately, because Cat fans would like to see him in there. But I think you want him sort of maybe going out of the team with a good experience,
yep,
rather than maybe having 2 or 3 weeks where he struggles, or, you know, I don't know. But his best footy is certainly a long, long way ahead.
I thought Colo played a good game, in particular 2 tackles on Zerha were Greco-Roman wrestling
style.
Yeah,
strong is the big Ukrainian. Yeah.
The yo-yo Stanley was good, and with no Sean Darcy, would hope he plays another good game. Deconing's job on Larky was witness protection. So people are using your sayings now.
Larky?
Yeah. Witness protection sort of stuff. We have a spot in the mid-season draft. Would it be worth looking at a young key defender, someone that would come straight into centre-half back in VFL and break in case of emergency? Understand that we wouldn't get a star. Yeah, it'd be interesting to see which way the Cats go. That key defender is the one we've spoken about. This is the glaring.
Yeah, they don't have anyone. If Blitzars and DeConning, touch wood, they don't. But yeah, if they were to both go out of the team, they'd be in awful trouble. Mm. They don't have anything in the twos.
Howler 41 also says, also, it wasn't me that stole the beer from Warrnambool Racecourse. Any tips for the carnival?
Tips.
Anything out of the wild stable that you're preparing?
Well...
Anything you're chucking Stephen Pateman on board Hamilton for?
No. Unless it's 70 kilos, he can't get on.
No, over the sticks.
We won't have anything for old Stevie boy.
Anything at the Tozer Road double?
The old Tozer Road. Well, I was there yesterday for the jumps trials at Hamilton, at Warrnambool, and I was there this morning at Hamilton for track work. I reckon that crime doesn't pay. Does that mean my job's a crime?
Oh.
But
oh yeah, because you're really struggling. Yeah, yeah, okay.
So no tips for the carnival.
Anything out of the wild stable that we can follow?
I don't know if I'm supposed to. You're supposed to allow this. I'd be maybe nibbling on
gamble.
It's a very gamble
responsibly.
Yeah, you got to always responsibly. And the more you bet, the more you win.
No, Ben.
What?
No.
Huh?
No, you can't say that.
Chaff up. Chaff up.
Anything where the bookies will get a little bit nervous.
Well, the thing about the Warrnambool Carnival is it's so competitive. It's very, you know, it's the tips with a bit of, you know, you're not 100%. It's different if you go to a smaller meeting, but I'd say if I was betting responsibly and gambling responsibly, I would have a nibble.
It's a great word.
What a nibble.
Yeah.
I'd have a nibble on McKeever.
McKeever? Mm. Which day of the carnival?
Probably, you got me there. I reckon it's day two. Oh,
so, do you know what? You're only going to be one day out if you say day two.
Yeah, day two, that's right.
If you 100%. Say day one, you could be two.
1,000 metre 70 for little McKeever. His nickname around the stable is Johnny. And Johnny McKeever, obviously. And
who's Johnny McKeever?
Johnny McKeever. Oh, there's some homework for you, King.
Okay.
You Google it. Anyway, I reckon he'll run well. He worked the house down this morning, little fella. He's only a little chestnut, but he gets off the hoof, as they say.
Daz Broncos, I'll do my best to make sure I don't omit anything important whilst managing to make this short and sweet. Ha ha, very funny.
Good work, Daz.
Tomer is 33 and has 308 games. Can he realistically become the club's games record holder? Sal will probably get another 20 or so and be around the 350 mark. Tomer, given his form and fitness, could play another 2 years after this. That's a solid 70 games. He could get to 370 or so, and in terms of goals, he's at 685. Could reasonably snag another 100, putting him close to or over the 800. Do you agree? I think he's one more after this. I reckon he definitely plays next year.
And you reckon he's done then?
Oh, that's 35.
That's a big call.
That's 35.
Yeah, yeah. When's he contracted to?
This year, I think. I know the skipper's definitely this year. No, Selwood. Yeah, no, the Hawks only this year as well.
Yeah. Geez, while he's playing like he is, you don't want to.
But do you also put any limits on it? Do you also go the Corey Enright theory of go out while you still got something in the kit?
Oh, only Tom would be able to answer that. I think as long as he's mentally enjoying the game, which he seems to be, physically he's an absolute beast. So, I think you're probably right this year and next year. And then if he's playing gangbusters towards the end of next year and, you know, he thinks Geelong are a chance, I wonder whether it would be tied in with Geelong, you know, maybe drop off. And he's thinking, yeah, okay, well, I don't know if I want to whack around in a team that's going to finish 12th. That's no disrespect to him. He's earned the right to do that. But, if you know, I think being in a good side, still, playing
he's
finals.
Been, he's and, still being paid $500,000 to
Yeah, well, that's right, Kenny. I'd whack away too. If I was getting half a mil over 2 years, it'd be nice, wouldn't it? Mm. What would you do with it?
I don't know.
Hey?
I don't know.
What would be the first thing you'd purchase?
A new car.
Right. What would you pop onto?
Probably a Rex Garrel Ford.
Right.
Just a regulation. Just to like my regulation.
Like a sedan.
Something. A Mondeo.
Would you get the windows washed at the light by a man who's got no shirt on?
Probably not. Right. Call to Daddy. My question this week may require some homework, okay? If we're making us do homework, we're not here for homework. We did homework.
Johnny McKeever, there's your homework.
We did high school homework. Name the five players we should go after in free agency and give us a name of three players we should have a serious crack at trading for. Papered over the cracks win last week, three games to go. I don't know who's available free agency wise. Because we're only calling Cats games, my focus is really narrowed.
I hope that if they do snare they are interested in a free agent, I'd like to see, you know, the free agent at least have a good, you know, a legitimate 5 years still left on the clock.
Oh, at least.
You want
5 to 7, don't you?
What do they have to have been there? 6 years, don't they?
Eight.
So they've got to be 26 probably at a minimum. Yeah, look, I don't know. Depends who's there, but I don't know. I think it's time the Cats maybe just invested back into the draft a bit.
Yep.
Rather than went down that path, albeit. If there was someone who is 25, 26 and they're, you know, had a good injury history and they're, you know, a solid citizen and all those sorts of things, yeah, I suppose you could look at it, but... I just reckon it's time to just sort of maybe bite down a bit on the draft for the and have some players coming through, because it seems astonishing, Kingy, doesn't it, that, and it's probably not, but that Geelong don't have any developing key defender at all. Hmm. Not one. Well, I mean,
well, DeConi.
Yeah, but in terms of, yeah, he is the one, but there's no one under him.
Well, whether Shannon Neal becomes a defender or not, I'm not sure whether they're going to play him. Foxdog 50, mine is similar to Calder Daddy. According to Footy Wire, here's a list of our players who are out of contract at the end of 2022. It's the same as the list I keep. Name the players who you would keep or delist or will ask for a new home, but then name what you think the club will do. Brandon Parfitt, he'll restate the Cats, re-sign.
Well, the Cats need him to stay on. He's still... teasing still, but they need him to stay on. He's 23.
He'll be at the Cats next year. Francis Evans?
Well, you'd hope he wouldn't go anywhere. Would you have just invested, what, 2 or 3 years into him?
Two. Is this his third? Yes, this is his third.
Second.
No, third.
Third. Yeah, well, they've invested some time into him, so you wouldn't like to see him go just yet. I don't think there's not enough on the table to say whether he's good enough or not good enough.
Gary Rowan needs to get back on the park. He will play in the VFL on Sunday, and then it'll be a case of what he probably proffers in the second half of the season.
Yeah.
What he does in the second half of the season will determine whether he's a Geelong player next year.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yep. Isaac Smith, you'll give one more year to. He'll just be on rolling one-year contracts until...
That's an interesting one, because I think it depends what happens this year, doesn't it? I mean, if Geelong, okay, let's say Geelong hypothetically finish seventh, lose the first final.
Do you say thanks very much?
Do you keep going with the bloke who's going to be 35,
no.
Or do you put guys in like, you know, some of these kids and you know, bite the bullet for a year or two and get some games into them, because you're potentially denying them games, and then others will say, well, you've got you're giving those kids time to develop. So there's a bit of, and Conning's probably one that's done that. They had a bit of time to develop him physically. So it is a bit of a catch-22, but I think, I don't know, you don't want too many of those guys
going at once.
Yeah, and even though he's playing really good footy, I don't know, that's an interesting decision, that one. I don't think it's cut and dry.
Joel Selwood.
Yeah, well,
I think this is the last role.
He does whatever he wants to.
I think this is the last role for the skipper. I don't know that, but I think he pulls the pin at the end of the year.
Yeah, you could be 100% right.
But I could be 100% wrong too.
He's just, let him do whatever he likes to do.
It'll be his call.
Yeah.
Yeah, the club will say
he's earned that right. Whereas Smith, I think the club has legitimately, if they felt that was the way, to say, look, you've been great and we think you can actually offer something next year, but we need to be getting young players in.
Luke Dalhouse.
No.
Mark O'Connor.
Yeah.
Hurry up and re-sign.
Yeah.
Max Holmes.
Yes.
Nick Stevens. Yes.
Yes. Well, we'd like to see him get a game, but...
Yep. No spot for him.
No, that's the problem.
Yep. Paul Sapatolis is a Cat B rookie, so I suspect they'll keep him on because he's cheap and...
He's a ruckman, isn't he?
He is.
Yep. Yeah, well, they got. Yeah, well, if you got to give them a bit of time, so yep. Yes.
Quinton Narkle, I think, will be elsewhere.
Yeah, I'd say so. He's not on the team.
No.
Can't even get in.
Sam Simpson is out concussed.
Yeah, I'd like to see. I think he's a really good player.
I think he'll get another year.
I hope so.
Yeah,
he's got some tricks, Sam Simpson. Yeah. I think he could be a very smooth sort of half forward wingman.
Shannon Neal will get.
Yeah, well, I'd like to see. Well, the problem with him is he's Western Australian.
Yeah.
So there's half a chance he might want to go home. But I'd definitely be keeping him at 200 centimetres. He moves really well.
Sean Higgins is probably done at the end of this year.
Yeah, 100%.
Tom Hawkins, we expect will play on. Zach Guthrie might finally have run out of time. Not in the team at the moment. Or does he just become that bloke that's your classic, he's just handy to
just
have?
Just a clubman.
Yeah.
Maybe. Maybe he might be, really...
Do you put him back onto the rookie list and...
He might be really well liked.
He's a popular member of the group.
Yeah, he's certainly developed physically. So, as insurance as a defender... Probably not the worst thing. He's got a few runs on the board. You need to have those blokes who
have... He's got 30-odd games under his belt now.
Yeah, you need to have a few of those guys. If he's prepared to, if he goes into a season knowing that he's probably not in the best 22, but there will be opportunities through circumstance to get a game, and he's happy with that, and although he might think, well, I can go somewhere else and get a game.
Yep.
Oh, yep. That's a 50-50, that one.
And Zach Tui.
Well, how old's Zach Tui?
33, I think, born in 89. He'll be 33 by the end of the year.
That's another one. That's a little bit like... See, this is the thing, Kingy. This is like the same point with Smith. You know, somebody like a Nick Stevens, and I'm not suggesting he's Zach Tui, but he plays half back. So Tui's keeping a player like Nick Stevens out of the team.
Mm.
Not just him, but that sort of younger player who needs to get some game time. They're not going to get a game above Zach Tui, who's playing quite well. So there's no issues with how he's playing. But it becomes an issue when it depends where you're at. If the Cats think that they can win the flag and they're there and there and they've got, and they're roundabout, of course you're going to play Zach Tui. If at the end of the year they go, you know what, we probably need a year or two of just sort of maybe rebuilding and we'd like to get some games into X, Y, and Z, but these three players are keeping them out of the team and they're not going to get picked over them purely on form, then that's when you sort of have to make a decision. But right now, Smith and Tui are playing really good footy.
Yep.
Is that the best for the club going forward, though? That would be a decision that they'd have to make.
Oh, absolutely. Job, Benny.
Yeah, good work, Kingy.
Looking forward to Saturday. Meg McDonald's going to join us. Cats AFLW captain.
Oh, yeah.
He's going to join us for a chat about how the AFLW girls have season went and looking ahead, because obviously things are going to move pretty swiftly in that space.
Are we having another pussycat on? Who are we getting from the pussycats?
John Segler's going to join us.
Is he?
Yeah, going to have a chat to us.
He likes his four-legged things with tails.
Does he? Bit of a racing fan, is he?
Yes.
Aficionado.
I don't know about an aficionado, but I think he's right into it, Kingy, so yeah. We'll be able to ask him.
Well, we have to have a chat with him as well. Jared Griffin from...
Pete.
Yeah, from the Kidinya Park Stadium Trust, too. He's going to join us for a bit of a chat. So pretty full-on pre-game, 12 o'clock on air for a 1:45 bounce.
He's going to be a blockbuster.
Kerr's Hire, Geelong's official Wacker Neuson dealer. North Geelong, Grovedale and Ocean Grove. KerrsHire.com.au.